Hello and welcome to the Local Economic Development Podcast.
Hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Jörg Meyer-Starmer.
For other programs in this series, please take a look at www.ledcast.net.
In this episode, we are going to have a conversation about social standards and the role of social standards in global value chains. And I'm talking with Peter Knottinger, who is working at the Institute for Social Studies at The Hague. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Jörg.
Maybe let's start by trying to find a kind of typology. What are the kind of social standards that you have come across, or what are the kind of motivations that companies have to deal with social standards, to apply social standards?
Well, I think in terms of motivations, there are roughly three things that are distinguished a lot in the debate about social standards. The first set is related to issues of compliance. That has to do with companies that want to make sure that they are at least seen as being one of the companies that abides by all the laws that exist. The second group is issues of risk minimization, where companies want to make sure that they are not going to be the next brand name that is shown all over television, radio, other media in terms of their reputation, that they have been having their garments stitched in sweatshops, or that child labor was involved in their plantations. And the third one is companies that use social standards as part of their value creation, that actually use this as a way to put their brand in the market for consumers.
So looking at this last point, to what extent are companies progressing to that kind of level of sophistication in their approach to social standards? For how many companies is that actually a relevant and a promising approach?
Well, I think the value creation approach is limited, especially to the A brands in the world, and to, for example, fair trade or ethical trade kind of companies who actually make that really part of their core activity. So I think it is, at global level, it is only a few percent of corporations, and it is also mainly in the light consumer goods, in the kinds of goods that we actually buy that give us some identity in terms of garments or clothing or perhaps mobile phones.
So if that is then the case, is this whole issue of social standards kind of naturally limited? Is it going to be is it going to be a fringe phenomenon, or is it something that will have a major impact and affect international trade and production patterns in developing countries in a major way?
Well, I think one would expect that it is a fringe phenomenon, but I think it is possible to actually mainstream it further if one has more modest but realistic expectations. Because the real gains are not in actually getting the firms that are already at the level of value creation to move further ahead, but the real gains can be made by the 85 or 90% of companies that are actually on the compliance line, that sort of try to make sure that they abide by the minimum standards. So by raising the floor of these minimum standards, you can actually achieve quite significant and important progress.
One of the things that is currently ongoing is a process to define a new standard, ISO 26000, which is supposed to overcome all those fragmented standards that are existing right now. So what is the kind of impact that you would expect from a new ISO 26000 standard?
Well, that very much remains to be seen. The ISO 26000 standard will be different from the ones that everybody knows about, the ISO 9000 or the ISO 14000 standard, in the sense that this will not be a certifiable standard. It will be much more like something that is more like a guideline, but you cannot get certified that you are actually living up to that standard. But it may set a new floor in terms of compliance plus. There's sort of legal compliance in terms of local regulations, compliance in terms of national but also international expectations. And there, ISO 26000 can potentially play an important role in raising that minimum floor. And in that sense, it is a potentially very significant change, because it affects this 85% of the companies operating in the global market instead of these 5%.
So if a standard like ISO 26000 is going to come up, that's going to be another challenge that producers in developing countries will have to cope with. How can such companies, how can those producers prepare themselves for that? How can they respond to such a new challenge?
I think that depends very much on, for example, the size and the sophistication of the companies that we're talking about. I think in general, it might be another trend that will push out of the value chain many of the smaller, more informal suppliers, because it will be an incentive for the main actors in the value chain to be able to show that they have cleaned up their value chain. So it will be a force that will actually cut off the more informal parts of the value chain if one isn't careful. So in that sense, it might actually have negative developmental impacts, especially on the ground in developing countries. The way in which countries can prepare, or in the way in which producers can prepare themselves for that, I think the discussions on the precise formulation of the guidelines in this ISO 26000 are still ongoing. But I think one can already more or less predict the outcome. The outcome will be relatively close to the four ILO core standards and a few other things related to that. This doesn't require that many complicated changes of companies that are already seriously trying to comply with existing regulations in most countries.
I would suspect that not all our listeners are fully familiar with the ILO standards, so maybe we should just briefly recap what those core standards are.
Okay, well, let me bring in the ones that usually lead to a lot of discussion, at least. That is the freedom of association, abolishment of all forms of child labor, absence of discrimination on the work floor, so the issues related to gender and ethnicity and religion, etc. I think especially the first one, freedom of association, is a very sensitive issue in many of the emerging economies, not least China. While on many of the other accounts, people have achieved tremendous progress, especially in more export-oriented formal sector companies. But this freedom of association is a tricky, sensitive issue in many places. And at this point in time, it is unclear what the precise formulation in that new ISO 26000 will be. Perhaps it's important to mention here that there is also a significant Chinese delegation with both government officials as well as what they say are NGO representatives and people from the corporate sector who are, on behalf of China, participating in these global discussions on what should or should not be included in these standards. So one might expect that the formulation that is chosen in the end will be relatively open and could be interpreted in various ways in specific contexts.
Maybe let's have another look, a somewhat closer look at what all this means for actors at a local level. You have been doing a lot of research on Agra, the footwear cluster in India yourself. So picture yourself as a medium-sized business owner in Agra and maybe as the secretary of the business association in Agra. So what would you do to cope with social standards and to prepare yourself for new standards that are coming up now?
Yeah, if I put myself in the position of, let's say, medium-scale factory owner in Agra that now and then visited, for example, the shoe fairs in Dusseldorf and Las Vegas and Hong Kong, then probably the first thing I would have to do is make sure that all these informal women workers that work in the neighborhoods around my factory to actually do more of the labor-intensive activities, I would have to find a way to deal with that. Obviously, there are several ways to deal with that problem. One would hope that they would choose the constructive road, which would be to find a way to keep them in the value chain, but in a way that actually conforms to the standards that one can expect to come. Whether or not they, or I in this case, would be willing to undertake this additional investment to make that possible, would also partly depend on the extent to which me doing that would also make it possible for me to, let's say, have part of these additional costs reflected in a higher price for my products, because I can actually convince the consumers on the other side, the people in Europe, the United States, etc., that they would be also willing to actually pay maybe 10, 20, or 30 cents more, or perhaps a few euros more for these shoes.
And if you put yourself into the position of, say, the secretary of a business association or the local business chamber trying to organize collective action around social standards, what would that imply?
I think on the collective action side, it would be very important to try and find a way to convince not so much consumers, but especially the main purchasing managers in these value chains that are relevant to your cluster, to convince them that you are one of the clusters in which there is a critical mass that ensures future compliance, not only with the existing minimum regulations, but an overall willingness and effectiveness to actually achieve the next standard in the, that is yet to come. So in a way, branding the cluster or the location in your particular sector, in the business community, in those relevant value chains, in terms of being a forerunner in being able to conform to new standards, while at the same time, and of course we haven't stressed that here, but that keeps coming back on the table, while at the same time being cost effective relative to the quality that one offers.
Okay, so one last question. Listeners who want to have more information, who want to follow this up and find more documents, more materials about this kind of issues, where could they find such documents?
Yeah, one good website to start is the humanrightsbusiness.org website, which collects all kinds of information, especially on social standards. Country reports, sector reports, company reports. They also follow the debate on the emerging ISO 26000 standard.
Great. Thanks a lot, Peter.